On today's program, we'll talk about sin, vices, and why it's important that you understand what they are. Stay where you are. We begin now. Hey there, welcome. Come on in, make yourself comfortable. My name is Gary Zimek. Great to be back here with you for another week of the program. Today is Monday, so therefore we're going to turn to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we will talk about two of your favorite topics, sin and vices. I'm just kidding. I'm sure they're not two of your favorite topics, but you know what? This is a perfect subject because today we are less than 2 weeks away from the start of Advent. Advent is a great time of year for getting ready to welcome the Lord more deeply into your life. How do we do that? We do that by looking inside of ourselves and cleaning up some of the clutter so that there is room for the Lord. One of the problems that happens in our lives is we tend to accumulate a lot of garbage. And this garbage can get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. This garbage can sometimes cause us to really crowd the Lord out. And we have to be careful that we don't do that. Advent is the time of year to focus on that and to work on making room for the Lord. We know the fact that there was no room in the inn, right? We've heard that there was no room in the inn. Well, how about in the inn of our heart? Is there room for the Lord in the inn of our heart? And that's what we're going to work on during Advent. So looking at sin and vice is an important thing to do. We'll also read the Mass readings today. First reading's a bit long. It's from the first book of Maccabees. So it's a little bit long, but we've got some great messages in these readings. Now, these readings, as we near the end of the liturgical year, this Sunday is the Solemnity of Christ the King. After that, the following Sunday after that is the first Sunday of Advent. So we are less than 2 weeks away from the beginning of Advent. We're going to hear a lot between now and then, and you'll hear it in some of these daily Mass readings that we'll read on the program here. We're going to hear a lot about end times and the judgment, and this is done purposely. The Church wants to make sure that we're thinking about the fact that our lives will come to an end one day and that we're preparing. It's not just a matter of thinking about our lives coming to an end. It's a matter of preparing and making sure that we're ready to meet the Lord in judgment. And it's always a good practice to be prepared to have that happen at any time, because we don't know. The Lord did say, we will not know the hour. We'll not know the day. We're not going to know when it happens. So it makes sense to be prepared. That's why you're going to hear a lot about preparation, about getting ready, about making sure that the clutter is removed from our life so that we can invite the Lord in and move more closely to Him. So that's what we'll talk about today. Just a quick reminder that 2 weeks from today, we'll begin the Advent retreat right here on the program. The Advent retreat will consist of some simple meditations each night, which I think you're going to like. We've used this book before. I am going to maybe throw in a couple of extra sources as well. We'll also look at the daily Mass readings, and we will pray the St. Andrew Novena. So stay tuned for that. All that's going to be coming up soon. I'll let you know more about that in the weeks to come. I'll let you know what exactly the St. Andrew Novena is all about. It's something that we can pray every day, and we're going to pray, or I'm going to invite you to pray for your most impossible intention, that thing in your life. You might even have a couple of them. Offer them all up. Ask the Lord to intervene in your life in a miraculous way. That's the thing that we need to do. This is the way that our faith grows. The way our faith grows is by letting the Lord do things in our lives and not holding back. I think sometimes we hold back for whatever reason. We hold back and we don't really give Him a chance to do great things. And by not being specific with our prayer requests, we don't really get a chance to see the amazing things that He does in our lives. He knows what we need, no doubt about that. We don't really need to tell Him. But for our benefit, it's good to specifically say, Lord, can you do this in my life? Please, I know you can. Can you make this happen? When it happens, we get blown away. This is how our faith grows. So I would encourage you to participate in the Advent retreat. You know, I always have room for you here on the program. And especially in the St. Andrew Novena, because it's a powerful manifestation of God's grace. It really is. And I'll tell you more stories as we get closer, but less than 2 weeks away. You don't need to sign up. Just show up here, bring your beverage, bring your snack, and we're going to be good. All right, sound good? If you, by the way, I do want to mention, tomorrow night, I'll be speaking in North Jersey, in Mahwah, New Jersey, at Immaculate Conception Church. I talked about it this morning on Relevant Radio. If you're in the area, stop on by. I'd love to meet you. Admission is free. The title of the talk is Walking by Faith. I'm going to give some advice for learning to move from fear to faith. This walk with the Lord, it involves faith. If I'm going to be doing what the Lord wants me to do in life, and if I ever want to experience peace, I need to somehow exercise my faith. That's the only way it's going to happen. We need to walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't mean that we're walking in the darkness, but what it means is that we trust in the Lord. We try our best to trust in the Lord. Oftentimes, we do it by taking baby steps. But it's important that we don't only trust by using our senses, or walk by using our senses, because that way there really is no faith involved. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be a talk tomorrow. It'll be at about an hour long. Not going to be a very lengthy talk, but I hope you can stop by Immaculate Conception Church in Mahwah, New Jersey. The talk begins at 7:30. After the talk, I'll be signing books. I'll have all my books and my CDs available for sale, and I'd really love to meet you. So if you're in the neighborhood, please stop by. You don't need to register. Just show up. And I look forward to meeting you there. And then the following night, I'll be in Havertown, Pennsylvania, which is at a home and school association. So that's a private event, to the best of my knowledge. But after that, I am headed to Louisiana. I'll be speaking in Metairie, Louisiana on November the 30th, St. Francis Xavier Church, followed by several days, a three-day parish mission in Carencro, which is in the Diocese of Lafayette. All of these are free admission. I hope if you're in the area, you could stop on by. And after that, the week after that, I'll be in New Mexico, Los Alamos, New Mexico, giving a parish mission there. So please check my website, followingthetruth.com, for more information. I'd love to see you. And you know that I want to come to your parish too. So if you would like to bring me in to speak, I am the leading Catholic speaker on overcoming anxiety. If you Google Catholic speaker anxiety, you're going to get me. You're going to get a lot of hits on me. The Lord has blessed me with this mission, and I'm really so grateful that He's done this, to go out and try to bring some comfort to those who are struggling with anxiety. I can do it because I'm somebody who has struggled with anxiety throughout my life, and I'll teach you some techniques that really will work. They really will bear fruit in your life. And the reason I know that is because they're bearing fruit in my life as I apply them. It's a daily struggle. But as I apply these techniques, they do bear fruit in my life. So more information can be found at followingthetruth.com. The final piece of information is a big thank you. Many of you have heard the pleas for funding, and I you know I don't like to talk about it, but being in full-time ministry, I don't have a lot of sources of income. And it gets difficult to support my family, to keep this radio program going, to do what I do. We're nearing 4 years now, and without your help, there's no way that would have been possible. So I am very grateful for your support. Please, if you would like to support my work and you haven't done so, consider doing it, followingthetruth.com. You can do it securely. Monthly sponsors. I've been getting some people signing up for monthly sponsorship, and I really need that. And I'm so grateful because that's how this show stays on the air. That's how I continue my work. I am very grateful for your financial support, and I thank you, and know that you're in my prayers, and know that I'm very grateful, and I would love to keep doing this show for many years to come. That depends on your continued support. So if you're somebody that maybe likes the show and hasn't gotten a chance to contribute lately, and you might like to, I could really use it. Followingthetruth.com, just go to the donate page, and that will allow you to do that securely via PayPal. You can either make a one-time contribution, or you can be a monthly sponsor. So I thank you for that. Okay, the beverage du jour. Boy, I guess something I don't know if I've ever had before. I was doing my monthly radio show. I was taping my monthly radio show at Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia today, the program that will air on December the 4th. And it's an Advent show, so I'll give you more info about that as we draw closer. But I picked up this on the way home. You ready? All right, take a listen. I know that wasn't very much to listen to, but you're not going to guess this, so I'll tell you what it is. It's a bottle of Diet Pepsi wild cherry flavor. Pretty good. Pretty good stuff. I don't drink diet soda that often, but every now and then it makes me feel less guilty, if you know what I mean. So that's my drink. I hope you've got a good beverage. I hope you're ready to sit down and talk about the Lord, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to open up with prayer, then we'll get right into the mass readings, followed by a discussion, brief discussion, on sin and vice. Please join me as we place ourselves in the Father's presence, and we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of another day. Thank you for the many blessings that you give to us each and every day. The blessings that we've received in the past, the blessings that we will receive in the future. We are very grateful. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for always being there when we need to speak with you. Thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for listening. A lot of people don't even want to listen to us, Father, but we're grateful that you listen. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to redeem us. Thank you for the grace that you give us. Father, we ask you to bless us, bless our family members, bless all of those around us, including our co-workers. We ask you to help those who are sick this evening, those who are lonely, those who are anxious. We ask you to help those who are struggling financially or dealing with an addiction. We ask you to have mercy on the souls who died in the terrorist attack in Paris, and as well as all of those affected by the attack. We ask you to grant them your peace, to grant them healing. And we ask for peace in the world. We ask that you put an end to the violence in the world. Touch the hearts of those people who commit these terrible acts of violence, and allow them to see the error of their ways. Father, please help us with our own personal needs, whatever they may be. We present them to you now, and we ask for you to help us with them. I give you this program. I ask you to speak through me today. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to whatever your message is. And we ask for this in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers. As together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Margaret of Scotland, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I put Saint Margaret of Scotland in there because of the fact that today is her memorial. It's actually an optional memorial, but I put her in there today, and we ask for her and for all the saints in heaven to intercede on our behalf. And I'm really glad to have you here. I'm really glad to do this program today. Let's get started, because we got a lot of material to cover. Know that if you have any questions at all about what we'll discuss tonight, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, here we go. The first reading is from the first book of Maccabees. The first book of Maccabees, let's see, beginning in chapter 1. Go back to the very beginning. From the descendants of Alexander's officers, there sprang a sinful offshoot, Antiochus Epiphanes, son of King Antiochus, once a hostage at Rome. He became king in the year 137 of the kingdom of the Greeks. In those days there appeared in Israel men who were breakers of the law, and they seduced many people, saying, Let us go and make an alliance with the Gentiles all around us. Since we separated from them, many evils have come upon us. The proposal was agreeable. Some from among the people promptly went to the king, and he authorized them to introduce the way of living of the Gentiles. Thereupon they built a gymnasium in Jerusalem, according to the Gentile custom. They covered over the mark of their circumcision and abandoned the Holy Covenant. They allied themselves with the Gentiles and sold themselves to wrongdoing. Then the king wrote to his whole kingdom that all should be one people, each abandoning his particular customs. All the Gentiles conformed to the command of the king, and many children of Israel were in favor of his religion. They sacrificed to idols and profaned the Sabbath. On the 15th day of the month Chislev, in the year 145, the king erected the horrible abomination upon the altar of burnt offerings. And in the surrounding cities of Judah they built pagan altars. They also burned incense at the doors of the houses and in the streets. Any scrolls of the law which they found, they tore up and burnt. Whoever was found with a scroll of the covenant and whoever observed the law was condemned to death by royal decree. But many in Israel were determined and resolved in their hearts not to eat anything unclean. They preferred to die rather than be defiled with unclean food or to profane the Holy Covenant, and they did die. Terrible affliction was upon Israel. It's a tough first reading, isn't it? Most of us, hopefully, would say that if we had to make a choice, if we were given a choice to deny our faith or to experience death, that we would choose to affirm our belief in the Lord, even if it means sacrificing our life. Most of us would say that. In a time of great duress, if you have a gun to your head, for example, we can't fully be sure how we would act. All we can do, and in fact, I talked about this morning on the Wake Up radio program on Catholic Community Radio in Louisiana. We talked about this very subject. We can pray now for the grace that if this ever does happen to us, that we would be strong enough to say, yes, I am a Christian. I don't care what you do to me. I am willing to die for my faith. That's the prayer. That's what we can make. That's the prayer that we can make now. And it's a really good prayer. It's a really good prayer to pray while we're not in a state of duress. Now, there is a chance that we'll never experience it. Odds are we won't have to have our life threatened. But let's face it, it is becoming more and more popular to restrict the religious rights of Christians in particular. It's not very popular to be a Christian now in the world, even in the U.S. If we start to profess our religious beliefs, if we start to profess some of the teachings of the church, we're going to be met with resistance. We'll be labeled as a hater or somebody who is intolerant or any number of different things. The question that I have for you is, how do you react to that? Do you back off? Or do you say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not intolerant. We love everybody as Christians, but, for example, we believe that same-sex marriage is impossible because marriage must be between a man and a woman. I believe that cohabitation outside of marriage is immoral. I believe that birth control is immoral. I believe that abortion is wrong. Are you willing to say that? If you are, that's a good thing, because here's the thing. You know as well as I do that you will be met with opposition if you take that position in the world today. Are you willing to risk your reputation? Are you willing to experience humiliation, rejection, whatever, for the Lord? If you're not, well, first of all, let me say you're human. So that is a completely understandable feeling if you're a little nervous about that. But what I would recommend are really two things. Number one, make it a point, and I do a lot with this on the program, make it a point to try to get closer to Jesus Christ, to get to know him as a person. The closer you get to Jesus, the less you will care about what other people think, because you're going to care about Jesus primarily. And the other thing I would say is pray for the desire and the strength to be able to stand up for your religious beliefs. Don't try to do it by yourself, but pray for that desire. Let me move along because I took a little bit of extra time. It was a little bit of a longer reading. Let's look at the responsorial psalm. Psalm 119. Give me life, O Lord, and I will do your commands. Indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Though the snares of the wicked are twined about me, your law I have not forgotten. Redeem me from the oppression of men, that I may keep your precepts. I am attacked by malicious persecutors who are far from your law. Far from sinners is salvation, because they seek not your statutes. I beheld the apostates with loathing, because they kept not to your promise. And you see, that's another reminder. I'm attacked by malicious persecutors who are far from your law. Some people do not believe in the law of God. They don't want to hear about the law of God, and they're going to do things their way. Expect to be persecuted, even in a verbal sense. The more you go out on a limb for Jesus, the more persecution you will receive. But if you endure to the end, this is the words of the Lord, you will receive a great reward in heaven. And that's really what it comes down to. Are we willing to forego the comfort of this life, the comfort of being accepted by everyone, you know, as far as we that's possible, forego that for the reward of eternal life, eternal happiness in heaven? And so we need to be a little broader in our thinking in order to be able to accept what awaits us in heaven. The gospel is Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." The people walking in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Then Jesus stopped and ordered that he be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He replied, "Lord, please let me see." "What do you want me to do?" Jesus told him, "Have sight. Your faith has saved you." He immediately received his sight and followed him, giving glory to God. When they saw this, all the people gave praise to God. This is an example. It's a great little story. This is an example of the power of somebody, of the witness of the Lord in somebody's life. It mattered that this individual was able to go out after he was healed and spread the good news, spread the gospel. That's what we're all called to do. The Lord has done many great things in our lives. What are we willing to do in return? Are we ready? Are we ready to go out there and spread the good news, even when it becomes difficult? And that's really the challenge facing all of us. As far as what do you want me to do for you, we can picture Jesus asking any of us that question. What would be the answer? When I was at Daily Mass today, the priest challenged us with that very question. Picture God saying that to you. What would you say to him? And I would throw that out to you. What would you ask him? If he would say to you, "What can I do for you?" Is it going to be a material request, or is it going to be a spiritual thing, or a combination of both? Really a good thing to think about this day. And once you figure out what it is that you want to ask for him, go ahead and make the request. And then also be willing to do what the man who received his eyesight did. Go out and spread the good news. Go out and share Jesus Christ with others and share the good things that he has done for you. Amen? All right. If you have any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is the place to get in touch with me. Let's talk a little bit about sin. I apologize. I've got a bit of a frog in my throat tonight. Once again, we're using the compendium of the catechism, which is a question and answer, the catechism in question and answer format. We're going to talk briefly about sin and vices, all right? Just a very brief overview, but I think it's important as we get ready to begin the Advent season to look at sin and vices and what they are. What is sin? Sin is a word, an act, or a desire contrary to the eternal law, and that's according to St. Augustine. It is an offense against God in disobedience to his love. It wounds human nature and injures human solidarity. Christ in his passion fully revealed the seriousness of sin and overcame it with his mercy. So as serious as sin is, the Lord's mercy overcomes sin. Are there a variety of sins? Yes, there are a great many kinds of sins. They could directly concern God, neighbor, or ourselves. They can also be divided into sins of thought, of word, of deed, or of omission. Sorry, my headset just got a little displaced there. How are sins distinguished according to their gravity? A distinction is made between mortal and venial sins. When does one commit a mortal sin? One commits a mortal sin when there are simultaneously present, number one, grave matter, number two, full knowledge, number three, deliberate consent. I want to talk about this in the moments that remain, because it's important that you understand what a mortal sin is. So we really need three things present, three factors must be present in order for a sin to be mortal. We have to have grave matter. It's got to be a serious issue. We have to have full knowledge. We have to know that what we are doing is seriously wrong. And number three, we have to deliberately consent to doing it. In other words, we're not coerced. We're not half asleep. We're not in a some kind of a crazy mental state under duress. We've got to be consciously aware of what we're doing. The mortal sin destroys charity in us, deprives us of sanctifying grace, and if unrepented, listen to this, leads us to the eternal death of hell. However, it can be forgiven in the ordinary way by means of the sacraments of baptism and of penance or reconciliation. If we go to penance, we confess our mortal sin, no matter how serious it is, we can be forgiven, thereby saving ourselves from eternal damnation. We're not going to go to hell if we confess a mortal sin. Let's talk about venial sins. What is a venial sin? One commits a venial sin, which is essentially different from a mortal sin, when the matter involved is less serious, or even if it's grave, when full knowledge or complete consent are absent. Remember the three conditions for a mortal sin? Well, if any one of those is not met, then you have a venial or a lesser sin. Venial sin does not break the covenant with God, but it weakens charity and manifests a disordered affection for created goods. It impedes the progress of a soul in the exercise of the virtues and in the practice of moral good. It merits temporal punishment, which purifies. We go to purgatory to be purified of the effects of the venial sins that we've committed. You want to strive to commit zero sins. You don't want to just say, well, it's a venial sin, so it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Any sin is a big deal. Even if it doesn't send you to hell, it's a big deal. Because if we really love the Lord, if we really want to do what's right for Him, because we love Him, we're going to do whatever we can to avoid sin. Okay? Now, let's talk about this idea of vices. What are vices? Vices are the opposite of virtues. They are perverse habits which darken the conscience and incline one to evil. The vices can be linked to the seven so-called capital sins, which are pride, avarice, envy, anger, lust, gluttony, sloth, and acedia. Do we have any responsibility for sins committed by others? We do have such a responsibility when we culpably cooperate with them. So in other words, we can, if we help somebody, and I don't have time to go into all of the details, but if for some reason we either don't stop a person from committing sin or somehow encourage them or cooperate them, and again, we are not responsible for their actions, but there are times when if we could do something, we could possibly be responsible, then we could have some kind of a moral culpability. But again, today this was just a brief overview. I just wanted to talk about sin. And let's not blow it off. Let's take sin seriously, even venial sin, and use the Advent season to, number one, get back to confession, especially if it's been a long time. And number two, try to do some work in our lives to break free from sin and grow closer to the Lord during Advent. All right, and I hope you'll be able to join me as we begin 2 weeks from today, the Advent retreat right here on the program. I'm going to be here, and I really hope you can join me as well. We are out of time. Thanks for tuning in. God willing, we'll be back tomorrow night. And have a wonderful night. God bless you.